Very disappointing, especially, yes, you could say England got a very good start, scoring a try and a conversion through Jack Nolan and Owen Farrell to lead 7-0. But then Ireland came back and got themselves into the game, forced a penalty, Johnny Sexton narrowed to 7-3. And then, of course, on 26 minutes, they were given another kickable penalty. But at that stage, Rory Best decided to go for the line-out. After numerous drives back and forward, they eventually got over through Keane Healy. Super conversion from Sexton. And that made it 10-7. So, you know, at that stage, 26 minutes gone, Ireland had clawed themselves back into the game. At that stage, there was a yellow card for Tom Curry on a high tackle. But I suppose yesterday I was slight... In fact, I was critical of Jerome Garcia, the French referee, who really I at times have seen. And there's times where he's very lax. Otoji, who was outstanding for England in every other facet, yeah, you could say it was enthusiasm, but he jumped for the ball with Keith Earls, and his knee and his feet caught Keith Earls. It wasn't a deliberate foul, but at the end of the day, if you go by the letter of the law, he tackled somebody in the air, and therefore he should have had a yellow card. Garcia just refused to get that one. Now, I'm not saying that changed the game, but it would have put them down to 13 men at that stage. However, once Curry came back on again, England then started started to take over. And then there was the kick through. Stockdale had the ball in his hand. He was tackled, and the ball went loose, and Daly was on hand to dive on it. Again, a few people thought maybe that Stockdale was tackled without the ball, but it's one of those situations where if a player goes for the ball and he looks as if he has it, and you know, from Stockdale's point of view, yes, it was a mistake by him, but I think that's about the only mistake he's made since he came on. And he learned the hard way, because he has certainly scored tries against other people in similar circumstances. Owen Farrell converted that one. Again, a super conversion. That made it 14-10. And then with a few minutes to go at half-time, the England forwards started to really put the pressure on. 17-10 half-time. Nothing happened first 14 minutes of second half. Then Ireland had a penalty, bringing it back to 17-13. They were penalised then 4 minutes later, but Farrell, from 45 metres in front, kicked the ball wide, and that was a wee bit of a let-off. We thought maybe they'll come back. But you have to say, in the last quarter of the game, England forwards especially, just had too much firepower for Ireland, and that was... It was unfortunate, because the Irish back row, see, Van der Fly had, I think, the highest tackle count of anybody in the pitch. But Peter O'Mahony and CJ Stander, surprisingly, were very unobtrusive, and they certainly did not have good games. And a lot of the scribes talking after the game were saying that young James Ryan, you know, he found it hard going, and once Stephen Toner went off, he was sort of left on his own. But the physicality of England showed, and you know, that was what happened. They then had a further try from Henry Slade, and a fourth try to give them the bonus point whenever Daly got a second try. But I mean, it was Slade got to the second try, making it the interception, and Farrell converted 32-13. Ireland replied in the last minute whenever
the game was over.
Replacement Herder went through. Mm-hmm. Sean Cronin, and I'm delighted that, you know, was delighted that young the Ulster scrum half John Cooney, running a good support line, went in at the post. Sexton converted, but that was too little, too late. I have to be honest. You try. We're talking about it last night after the game and all. You had to try and think, had Ireland a chance of winning that game yesterday? Yes, maybe a 10-7 with 25 minutes to go. But if one is brutally honest, I think most observers would agree that England yesterday just had too much firepower. And certainly, you know, all the chat about Ireland and this and Ireland and that, you know, yesterday was a wake-up call. Maybe not the worst thing can happen, especially in World Cup year. They will now realise, you know, that every game is not winnable and you have to work for it.
Looking forward at Scotland, big victory for them, 33-20 against Italy. Big one for Wales as well against France, finally, Alec.
Yes, the game against France was an amazing game, because, I mean, France threw away two scores, and typical of the French, you wouldn't know, one first half they were superb, second half they were abysmal, and, I mean, of course, you have to admire the Welsh, they took their chances, and as you say, they won that game, and, you know, that sets them up in a sense, especially winning away in Paris. The Scotland game against Italy. Scotland were sailing home at one stage, but they did concede two late scores to Italy, who do tend to score quite late in the game. And from Ireland's point of view now, this is a big one next week at Murrayfield. I'm going over to that game. I'm looking forward to it. And really, you know, the chips are down at the moment. It's not all doom and gloom for the Irish team, I mean, but they've had such a brilliant, 2 years. And, you know, let's face it, you have to admire that England team, because I don't think too many people thought coming over to the Aviva, the way Ireland were playing, that they would produce a performance like that. But, you know, it's World Cup year, and who knows? And Eddie Jones, for all, of course, will take all the plaudits. But for me, I thought the English pack were absolutely superb. Man for man, they physically out-muscled Ireland. And, you know, when that happens, there's not much you can do.